Football is a way of life.
This is football, chump. All you gotta do when a man gets the ball is tackle him. Get it? The man with the ball. Bring him down.
Football is about controlling that anger, harnessing that aggression into a team effort to achieve perfection. You fumble the football, and I will break my foot off in your John Brown hind parts. And then you will run a mile.
You block about as good as a jelly donut. You know that?
People can learn a great deal from a skillfully played football game.
What civilized person would play a game with the skin of an innocent pig?
Dad! Hush!
Let's talk about playing football.
Here's Danger Dean with the BNW in the PNW.
That's right. It's the Broncos Northwest podcast. My name is Danger Dean. Of course, you can join the show in a number of different ways. Of course, social media. We've got a few different ways there. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, a few different options. Like I said, all at the BNW podcast. Also, shoot me an email, broncosnorthwestpodcast@gmail.com. Also, the phone number, if you'd like to call in. You can even leave a message, and when we'll play your message later on the show. That's 713, area code 4DANGER. 713, the number 4, DANGER. Again, you can call, you can text, and you can be a guest on the show. I do want to say a big special thank you to Dan Hardy. He is the voice of the show. Also, the sweet one, Johnny Zudo, for making us a beautiful logo, as always. Bobby Jackson, he's in charge of the music there. The little musical piece you hear at the beginning. Got to say a big, big thank you to him for letting us use that music. And, of course, Alan White. Didn't get a chance to shout him out last week on the show, but that awesome football piece at the very beginning of the show that you hear, that's all him. Amazing work. Again, couldn't do it without you guys. Got to say a humongous thank you. As for me, my name is Danger Dean. I'm just a dude from Colorado living in the PNW, and I happen to love the Denver Broncos. I'm passionate. Passionate's a really good word. Sometimes maybe a little too passionate. For example, Tim Tebow blocked me on Twitter. Yeah. I'd love to tell you exactly why. I'd love to sit here and tell you the story, but I can't. I don't know. I have to admit, it's a little off-putting knowing that the guy that doesn't like you is best friends with the Lord. Let's get on with the show.
Don't just be a spectator. Join the BNW podcast. 713-4-DANGER.
Lots of news breaking in the last week. Told you last week that John Elway was actually doing the unthinkable and stepping down as general manager of the team. Now, he's not leaving the team. However, they are in the hunt for a new general manager. And you have to wonder, what is the draw to Denver? Because, of course, Denver is not the only team in the hunt for a new GM. So what is Denver planning on luring a new GM here with? I mean, if you look at it, it's not going to be the losing season, right? Undeveloped quarterback. There are a few question marks, things that make me a little bit nervous as a fan, wondering what's the team going to do and who is actually willing to hop on and be a part of this project. Because let's be honest here, we're further away from winning another championship when compared to a lot of the other teams in the league. So what's the draw? That's my biggest question, and that is the one thing that does make me the most nervous. However, there are a few names to look out for as far as that search goes. According to Mike Kliss, Minnesota Vikings assistant general manager George Payton is on the list. Bears and former Broncos executive Champ Kelly, obvious ties there with Vic Fangio coming from the Bears. The Saints' Terry Fontenot. The Broncos' own Brian Stark actually looking within. Maybe a chance that they hire a general manager that's already a part of the team. Also on the list, a name that was thrown in there was Patriots and former Broncos executive Dave Ziegler. We did find out, however, over the weekend that Ziegler withdrew his name from the candidacy. So he's no longer up for the job, which, I mean, come on. As a Broncos fan, it's kind of a sigh of relief, right? Like the last thing we want is one of Josh McDaniels' boys coming back to Denver and causing Hurricane Josh 2.0, if you know what I mean. Ian Rappaport actually reporting that Ziegler withdrew the candidacy. A few of the standouts, and I think maybe more than standouts, some of the favorites to land that spot are Payton and Champ Kelly. George Payton and Champ Kelly, both favorites to land the general manager role. Benjamin Albright on Twitter actually tweeted out, "Don't count Payton out. There's a scenario where both of them wind up here too." So the possibility of them landing both, quite intriguing, quite wide open. Ryan Edwards went on to elaborate. He said, when it concerned Champ Kelly and George Payton, Benjamin Albright said to not count out the idea of landing Payton as the new GM and Kelly as director of player personnel, a promotion for both men. That is an interesting scenario. If they were able to pull that off, that would be huge. That would be a monster get for Denver. I think that right there would be a step in the right direction to maybe wrong some of the rights to fix the ship, so to speak. Again, though, what are the draw? What's the draw that's going to get Payton and Kelly to leave their respective roles and join the Broncos? I mean, is a promotion going to be enough? You'd have to hope that John Elway is willing to let whoever comes in as general manager take the reins without his influence, without him basically having the final say. Now, if those things are on the table to land not one, but two guys of that caliber on this team, I mean, sign me up. I mean, what are we waiting for? Throw the bank at them. If this thing works, gets us back to the playoffs, gives us a shot at another championship, I think it was all for the best. Definitely a situation we'll keep our eyes on that. Another situation that is worth keeping your eyes on is the Deshaun Watson situation going down in Houston. Huge, huge problems as far as their general manager search is going. Deshaun Watson wanted to be a part of that situation. However, the team was like, nah, it's okay. We'll handle that without you. Leaving a lot of hurt feelings. And basically, we're at a point where Deshaun Watson wants to be traded out of Houston. Now, there's a lot to unpack because that's going to be a huge, huge price tag for anybody. Not just the contract, but whatever you're going to have to give up just to trade to get him on the team. Well, Denver has been brought up as a potential landing spot. Bleacher Report predicting a few different scenarios. One, which says Watson becomes a Bronco after the Broncos trade their number one pick in this year's draft. That's the 9th overall pick. Their second round pick this year and their first round pick next year. And Deshaun Watson is young enough where he's got many years left in the tank. So if you sign Deshaun Watson now, you get him a part of the team now, he'll be in the fold for the long run. And when the Broncos have to face quarterbacks like Patrick Mahomes and Derek Carr twice a year, then perhaps we want somebody behind the helm that's a little bit better than Drew Lock. It's split. Nate says, we can do better. I don't think he is the best fit given his price tag. Would rather develop someone because we have a lot of rebuilding to do. Not in a plug-and-play spot to be competitive right now. And that's a great point because the Broncos are nowhere near the playoffs. They're, what, 5 wins this season? I think just to get back to the playoffs, maybe Nate's right. Maybe that price tag is a little too steep. Kyle said, yes, absolutely. He'd kill it with the talent around him here. Judy would be the next Hopkins. Well, Kyle, when you put it like that, then bring him in. If we have Courtland Sutton on one side and we've got Hopkins 2.0 on the other side, then, you know, maybe it allows us to bridge that gap. Kirk says the same type of trade the Rams got for Goff plus Vaughn. Ooh. I don't know about that. I'm a big proponent of wanting to see Vaughn succeed, but there's a very selfish part of me that's like, don't let him go. I don't think my heart could handle seeing Vaughn playing for another team. And let's be honest, with our luck as Broncos fans, he would end up on another team in the AFC West. So not only do we lose Vaughn, but we would probably have to face him twice a year. I've got no merit behind that. I'm just saying that'd be our luck as Broncos fans, right? I asked, what would you be willing to give up if it meant Deshaun Watson was a Bronco next season? He will minimum be 2 first-round picks, Alex says. Personally, I think we should offer 3 first rounds and just get it over with. We have the players on the offense and could get D in free agency in the draft. I mean, last draft, they did focus pretty heavily on the offense if they switched gears a little bit and then focused a little bit more on the defense. More importantly, the linebacker position, then, you know, maybe we're off to a good start. I do still think they need to bolster that offensive line, though. That is one thing that it was better this year, but could always use a little more improvement. Another one for Vaughn. 2 firsts and Vaughn Miller would do it, Greg. Thank you so much for your comment. I just can't bring myself to actually say, yes, let's give up Vaughn Miller. I'm just not there yet, especially when he's got one more year on the contract. What if this is the breakout year he was supposed to have this past season? Then perhaps the Broncos go a little further than they did this year. Lastly, Travis says he's an upgrade on what Drew Locke is, but is he an upgrade on what Drew Locke will be? I hate the idea of giving up any first round picks, but I'd swap one pick and Locke for Watson, throw in a late rounder if I have to, but I'm not selling the farm. So Broncos country seems to be a little bit split. Not as far as do we want Deshaun Watson in a Broncos uniform, but really what they'd be willing to see the team give up in order to do so. Seems like if they're going to sell the farm, maybe not. If you can get a steal, for lack of a better term, then it would be something that we would hope the team would capitalize on. The one thing we do know is the quarterback play has got to get better, whether it be Deshaun Watson, whether it be patience with Drew Locke, because maybe it's a scenario where Drew Locke, with a little bit of patience, with any kind of luck, maybe you get the same kind of productivity out of him that the Bills got out of Josh Allen. If you remember, Allen wasn't the best for a few years. It took him a little bit of time to get used to the pace of the game and develop to the point where he is now. That's not saying that Drew Locke is the same caliber of quarterback that Josh Allen is, but maybe with a little bit of time and a little bit of patience, he can grow into something good. Maybe great. You just have to have patience. Can patience win 12 games next season? That's what I want to know.
The closest he's ever been to the game is this show. It's the BNW Podcast with Danger Dean.
Last week, I asked the question, what do the Broncos need to do to fix this problem that is bogging the team down and has been a problem now for, what, the last four seasons? My opinion, I know we just talked about Deshaun Watson and Fantasyland, if we had the money, if the possibility was there. At this point, I mean, it really doesn't look like Deshaun Watson's going to be a Bronco. So when you really break it down, if you want my honest opinion, I say keep things the same. Keep as much as you can the same. I would change the special teams coordinator. I think Tom McMahon needs to go. But as far as everything else is concerned, I think you need to keep it constant. Or at least close to the same as possible. At least when it comes to the offense. And I've already said this. Not having an owner is bad. And really, it's not going to get any better if things just keep on constantly changing. A new GM coming in, that's going to be a great start. A competent owner, that could be the answer. I don't know. I'm okay with them sticking with Locke as long as there's some kind of continuity. There has to be some kind of structure that's put into place, something that's not ever changing. Some of your answers. Robert said main issue is offensive coordinator. There's no rhythm to the play calling, no using early play calls to set up plays later, reactive approach as opposed to proactive. Effective offenses dictate how the defense plays, not constantly trying to outguess them. Great point, Robert. And Michael's response to Robert, OC can only do what the quarterback is able to do, which I will have to agree with partially, but I will disagree on the fact that a good offensive coordinator can build the type of offense around the type of player or the type of quarterback that you have. And in case in point, the best Drew Locke has looked in his entire career was the end of the 2019 season. That last 5-6 game stretch that he had, he looked great. And Rich Gangarello, he was the offensive coordinator at that time, which after the season ended, he ended up losing his job. I think that was a mistake. I think they should have just kept him a part of the team. I know that him and Vic Fangio, they didn't see eye to eye on a number of different things, but I think that was a mistake, letting him go. I understand the draw with Pat Shurmur, and hopefully things can kind of evolve. Maybe, you know, an off season together, they can gel a little bit more and get a better feel for what the other is, you know, expecting or looking to do. Lance says offensive line have to give Drew Locke more time while he gets better at making reads. That is a great point. I will say the last draft, I was pulling my hair out. Why did they not pick up an offensive lineman in the second round? I mean, in hindsight, we can say, luckily this season, the offensive line got a little bit better, but at that time it was a head scratcher. Why are they grabbing wide receiver rather than someone to protect Drew Locke? Your investment, I'm assuming the person you're hoping is the future of the franchise. No, albeit giving him weapons, but how good are those weapons if you don't have any time to throw? again, hindsight is 20/20. Zach says, I'd give the whole package another year. A lot of good young players and vets who will be back from injury need another year in the same system with a good offseason. And the key word there is offseason. They need an offseason. I think we forget that last year, because of COVID, a lot of those practices before training camp never took place that typically would take place. A lot of those meetings between players, between the quarterback and the wide receiver group, that helps build continuity and helps the team gel. It helps give them a sense for one another before training camp starts. That way they can kind of build a rapport with one another. They were not afforded that luxury last season. And that goes for every team in the league. Glenn, this year was a wash. No training camp, no consistent schedule. One game, there was no quarterbacks. We talked about that game last week, the Saints game. To drastically change anything would be a mistake, in my honest opinion. Going back to there not being an offseason and basically no way for this team to gel, to grow. Paul says, leadership, leadership, leadership. Ownership needs to be resolved, and John needs to be retired. For the on-field, we'll need a safety linebacker to cover Kelsey and Waller. Man, that tight end, defending the tight end, has been just the Achilles heel, one of many, but has been the most glaring for, I mean, this isn't recent. This is like a decade plus. I mean, we're going back beyond Kelsey. We're going back to the inability to be able to defend Gronkowski. You know what I mean? This has always been a problem for the Denver Broncos. The fact that they didn't address that, or at times it feels like they're dragging their feet to address that. I hope that this offseason they are able to do just that. Kyle brings up the draft. Sell the farm and trade up to get Lawrence, Fields, Trask, whoever is available. Our offense is young and stacked. Our defense isn't getting any younger. We need to hire a smarter coach for offense and let the new quarterback run things. Otherwise, it's rinse and repeat every year. You know, a part of me wants to agree with that. Sell the farm and try to upgrade at quarterback. However, I fear that we're just getting into this cycle, this never-ending cycle that the Browns were in for how long? A decade plus, 2 decades almost, where it was just a revolving door at quarterback every single year, thinking they had the next best thing, and then moving on. And I know Drew Locke isn't going to be the best immediately, but, you know, give him some time. I think you stick with him for just a little bit longer, see what he has another year, and then we decide to sell the farm. Although, oh man, at number 9, if we can get Lawrence, Fields, or Trask, that's definitely worth visiting. We're gonna put a pin in that, Kyle. Thanks so much for your comment. Brent says, I realize this will be an unpopular take, but I disagree with the premise that a lot of changes need to take place. Part of the reason we have lost relevancy is because we have been in a constant state of change, which is what I was just saying. I preach patience and I say stay the course. I've bled orange and blue since the days of the Orange Crush, and I've rarely been this excited about our core of young players. That's another great point. I don't remember the last time that we've really looked at the team and said, okay, this could actually be the future. It's typically plug and play from free agency. He goes on to say, this team is headed in the right direction, and I see us building something special in Denver. Believe me, I'm not the homer type to see everything through orange colored glasses, and I've been highly critical of Elway and what he has done. But I think he finally got it right, both in terms of our coaching staff, perhaps with the exception of McMahon, I agree, and with the players we now have. I said from the start that 2020 was a wasted year and was simply a year for learning and growing. Too many injuries, too many changes on offense with no time to prep. Let's get healthy, let's get a full offseason under our belts, and let's use the lessons we learned from this year and see what happens. Our window starts in 2021, and I think a great many naysayers will be eating crow next year and for years to come. I could wax poetic about the many reasons for my faith in this team, but suffice it to say that I am all in on these guys, and I'm as excited as I've ever been for next year. I really love the optimism because, and no, I don't think that's an unpopular take. I think I just basically said that I agreed with a good chunk of that. And with Elway stepping down at GM, maybe some of those pieces get put into place this year with the draft. The draft is a really great place to start. Perhaps if they're in before free agency, maybe, you know, It remains to be seen, but if Elway can take himself out of being the guy who has to have his hand in the cookie jar, then maybe we see some good changes depending on who they go with. And it actually, during this, the recording of this, the time that we're actually taping this, it was announced that George Payton was moved on to the next round of interviews. So some interesting stuff to watch there as far as the GM search goes. Another really great response from Cameron. He says, so my opinion isn't exactly productive to the discussion, but we need new ownership. I don't believe Elway has been the best GM, and Ellis and committee are not going to hold the John Elway accountable, which is... this was actually posted before he stepped down as GM. So way to go, Cameron. Nailed it on the head. Feels like our team has no direction and no identity. I think the Raiders are a perfect example. Paying Gruden $100 million for 10 years as coach is absolutely insane, but they are able to make decisions like that because they have an owner that can be executive. I'm not saying this is a good decision, but it's one the Broncos simply can't make. Davis knew what he wanted and went for it with checkbook in hand. Currently, it feels like the Broncos are in a museum curator mode, preserve the brand, if you will. I don't believe we'll have any long-term success until we have owners slash new ownership. We can change coaches and quarterbacks all we want, and I don't think it'll make a real difference. And as much as I've bitched about Elway, changing him out also won't produce what we really want, a dynasty. We need an identity, and it's hard to have one when no one is captaining the organization and determining who we are. A response to that, Michael said, fire Elway, bring in Peyton Manning. Okay. At this point, we need somebody in that position that is able to make the right decisions for this team. And I think that if you start with that piece, and I'm not sure how far or close away we are from that decision being made, it really does seem like the NFL is looking at the Broncos dead in the eye and saying, make a decision or else. And again, I go back to that New Orleans Saints game, and I just can't help but think that if there was an owner in place, that game would not have went down the way it did. It's going to be really hard to change my mind when it comes to that. All right. Thank you so much for all of your responses. Assignment Broncos Country. We've got another one for you. With a handful of contract negotiations needing to be dealt with before next season, who do you think stays and who do you think goes? As always, your responses will be read on next week's shows, so make sure you leave yours at the Facebook page, the Instagram, the Twitter account, all at the BNW Podcast, BroncosNorthwestPodcast@gmail.com if you'd like to shoot me an email, or give me a call whenever you'd like. 713-4-DANGER. That's 713, the number 4, DANGER. Call or text in, and you can be featured on the next episode. As always, my name is Danger Dean, and this is the BNW Podcast. Bye.